Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Man, that was so sad. Good morning, everyone. Or as I would like to say, good morning, family. I want to continue this message that we've been dealing with this semester, being one in Christ. And today, as we look at being one in Christ, I want to look at it as in terms of community, how we're one in Christ in terms of community. Because we're all in the same place at the same time, and we have to do more than just get along with one another. We're not surviving together. We want to thrive together. Amen? Amen. We want to be the best that we can for Christ, and we want to be the best we can for one another in terms of community. Now, this message isn't just for us here at CIU while we're in our bubble, but this is for the body of Christ at large. When we're around believers at church or in our community, or even at Walmart, okay, Target, we should all be one in Christ in terms of community. Open your Bible, if you would, this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 25 through 32. And we're going to look at this idea of being one in Christ in terms of community. He tells us in the scriptures here in verse 25. He says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another." Let me establish a pattern that I want to use through the next few moments. I'm going to start off with a negative. Then I'm going to go to a positive. Then I'm going to give you a reason for the positive. I'm going to start off with a negative, then go to the positive. Then I'm going to give you a reason for the positive. The first thing, if you're taking notes this morning, if we're going to be one in community, if we want to be the best that we can be for one another, we have to stop lying. It's the idea of putting away all falsehood. Amen. I've been wrestling with this for a while, because in the text here, it reminds us, put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak truth to your neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. We're in the body of Christ together. Let's not lie to one another, but let's learn how to be honest with one another. Someone once raised the issue that it's okay to lie if we're in warfare. But watch this, we're not in warfare with one another. We're here to support one another. We're in the body together. And let's speak the truth to one another in love. Let's not lie. There was a cartoon character when I was a kid. I think his name was Pinocchio. Every time he lied, his nose grew a little longer. Look at your neighbor real quick. How long is their nose? How long is their nose? Some of y'all looking mighty long, mighty long, mighty long. Stop lying. Can I tell you, you're never as bad as people say you are, but you're never as good as people say you are either. Let's speak the truth to one another in love. You know, I ask myself the question, is it okay to lie when I don't like someone? Is it okay to lie if you're not in my clique? Is it okay to lie? You know, everybody lies every once in a while anyway. Every lie you tell, it's almost stabs at the heart of God, because he wants us as believers to put away any of the tactics and tools of the enemy. Every lie comes from the father of lies, John 8:44. Let's put away falsehood. But not only does this text, as we live in community, tells us about putting away lying, The second thing is found in verse 26 and 27. Don't sin when you get angry. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. How many of you this morning, if you just had to be honest, struggle with anger issues? You just get angry sometime. You just get mad. Nobody raises their hand on this point, sir. They just sit here and look at me as if I'm speaking Greek to them right now. But the idea here in this text is be angry and do not sin. It's not a sin to get angry, but it's a sin when you linger in your anger. When you don't let it go. When you start breaking plates because you're angry, or slashing tires because you're angry, or breaking windshields because, I'm in the wrong crowd to say that, I'm sorry. wrong group. But it's when you get angry and you cannot let it go. And that's why he uses the phrase, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. You want to get rid of it as soon as you can. When I was young, I used to watch The Incredible Hulk. Bruce Banner was my boy. Because every time you would make, matter of fact, he'd make this phrase, he'd say this, you wouldn't like me. You won't like me when I get angry. And every once in a while, he burst out of his clothes, out of his shoes, and this green, angry Hulk will come from Bruce Banner. I wonder, have we crucified the Incredible Hulk in our spirit and our soul this morning? We don't let anger linger. And one thing about the Incredible Hulk, the longer he stayed angry, the longer he stayed as the Hulk. You know, if we're going to be in community with one another, we know that we're one together. He reminds us of what we should put off in the text right above this, verse 17 and below. And he also reminds me what we should put on. As we look at this text, not only should we stop lying, but we shouldn't practice a habit of being angry. He says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun. Now, hear me well. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Being angry lets you know when you're violated. Being angry lets you know when there's something wrong. But as quickly as you can, resolve your anger. And he says, give no opportunity, give no place in verse 27 to the devil, to the evil one. Brothers and sisters, let me remind you of this. When you're in your anger and you stay angry too long, you give the devil a foothold to work from. You give him an embassy to work from. You give him a place to work from in your life. Be angry and sin not. If I were in church right now, I would tell you, if there's someone that you're angry with, get it right. Get it right before the Lord. Be angry and sin not. If I was at a marriage conference right now, I'd say it like this. Don't go to bed until you get it right. Stay up all night long if you need to, but don't go to bed and allow your anger to simmer. Don't allow your anger just to keep on raging in your spirit during the night. Be angry and let it go as quickly as possible. Amen? When you see anger trying to get a hold of you and you start to deal with anger inappropriately, take it to the Lord. Speak to one another. Handle your anger appropriately. Aristotle said this, and I want you to see this. Anyone can become angry. Aristotle wrote, but to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, this is not easy. The reason why I thought that was such a catchy quote is because sometimes we're mad at this person and we'll take it out on another person. And sometimes when someone is mad with this person, they take it out on another person, it's because they take it out on the person they're safest with. But the Bible reminds us to be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give a place for the devil to work from your life. Number three. Everybody say number three. Man, y'all are so quiet. This is another way that we can operate in community together. Here's what it says. Let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with everyone in need. Here's the negative, stop stealing. Here's the positive, learn how to work with your own hands. Why? So that you can give to everyone who has a need. Do you think people will still steal? Not in 2019. Not at CIU. I can leave my wallet anywhere I want to. No one will steal it, will they? I can leave my computer and nobody will steal it, right? You know what? If you're sitting here today and you know you have sticky fingers, ask the Lord to help you with your sticky fingers. If you have a job and you're supposed to be working for an honest wage and you're stealing time by staying on Facebook too long, say, Lord, help me. If you have a job and you're stealing time by staying at lunch too long or goofing off on the phone too long, Lord, help me not to steal, but to give an honestly work with my hands so that I can give to everyone who has need. And I'm gonna tell you something about me. I don't give to lazy folks. If they're lazy, they don't work, I challenge them, get a job. I was in Mr. Bedell's class, Frank Bedell's father, Cliff Bedell, some years ago. Cliff Bedell taught here since the beginning of time. And he just went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. And one day we were in Romans class and people were raising their hands for the prayer time. And they said, Mr. Bedell, would you pray that I get a job? Would you pray that I get some money? I'm behind on this and I'm behind on that. And Mr. Bedell, after taking about 10 of those requests, ran out of the classroom. We were in Fisher 102. He ran down to the job board and he ran back to class. He said, God has answered your prayer. And he started reading off the job list. Apply for these jobs after class and get one and work faithfully and God will take care of you. Amen. We don't have to pray about that. Let him who stole steals no longer. I'm gonna bring up something controversial. Can y'all handle it? Okay, wrong church. Can y'all handle it? Yes. Don't steal somebody else's work and call it your work. I'm in the wrong class for that one, I'm sorry. Rick, you called me at the last minute, so that's the best I could do. Because when we steal someone else's work and we don't work with our own hands, we won't have anything to give away when it comes to our appropriate time to give something away because we didn't put the good stuff in, so we can't get the good stuff out. Let him who stole steal no longer. I've never experienced a chapel this quiet. Let's go to the next one here. Watch your mouth. Watch out, mouth. How many of you all know that pink tornado that's in your mouth can get you out of trouble, but oftentimes it gets you in a whole lot of trouble? As a matter of fact, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Here's the negative. Let go of the corrupt talking. Since Bill Jones was supposed to speak today, let me say what Bill Jones would say. Don't let rotten words come out of your mouth. How many of you all, if the cafeteria had rotten apples and rotten oranges and rotten bananas in the cafeteria, how many of you all would just get in line to get that rotten fruit? But the problem is too many of us are in line for rotten words. And what he tells us is to watch out, mouth, watch what's in your mouth. Because he tells us instead of using corrupt words, use words that are good for the building up as fits the occasion. Build one another up with your words. When some people start talking, you say, here we go again. They're going to tear someone down. But let your words be filled with grace to build someone up. Even when we post on social media, on Facebook, Instagram. I'm at the wrong church to be talking like this. Even when we post on anything, let our words, when we send emails, let our words build up one another instead of tear one another down. It doesn't take much thought, much effort, much energy to tear someone down. But it takes a lot more energy to build them up. Amen? What's in your mouth right now? Has it been a bunch of rotten words? But are you using your words filled with grace to build someone up? If we're going to be one in the body of Christ, we got to know how to talk to one another, to build one another up. Amen, church? As a professor, how I speak to my students. I got one student in my class. Where is Wade at? Is Wade here? That's my brother. Wade and I were in class the other morning, theology class, and I started fussing with Wade. Wade looked like he couldn't be broken. I fussed some more. Wade wasn't going to be broken. And after a while, he got sorrowful, held his head down. And I said to in front of the whole class, Wade, I love you. And we need to get on the same sheet of paper. He needs to know I'm right, he's wrong, but I love him. Amen. And Wade, I have the microphone, so you can't say anything. It's my job to build Wade up. I'm going to spend next weekend with Wade and try to build him up. Wade, try to build me up too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The next verse, verse 30, says this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I think this entire pericope hinges on this one verse. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we steal from one another. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we get angry. Or when we use corrupt words. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we don't treat one another like we're family, like we're community, like we're in the body of Christ, like we're one in Christ. He says, don't grieve the Spirit. The next couple of verses here, here's what it says. Vices versus virtues. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. As God in Christ forgave you. In verse 31 is filled with vices, bitterness. And if you're not noticing there, there's a building block in verse 31. Bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor. It gets worse and worse and worse as you look at verse 31. And slander. But put it away from you, along with all malice. All this messy stuff, put it away from you. If we're in community, let the bitterness go. If we're one in the body of Christ, let the anger and the clamor go. Let all this stuff go if we're one in the body of Christ. But instead, the very next verse says this, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. as you look at this one, I mean, it seems easy enough, but sometimes it's so difficult. Because it's hard to be kind to one another when you're robbing one another, when you're angry at one another, when you have rotten words for one another. He says, be kind to one another. The idea of gentleness, the handling one another gently, be kind to one another. And then not only that, he says, forgiving one another. Now see, you've gone from teaching to preaching now to meddling in my business. I don't want to forgive one another. There's some people I want to dislike to the day I go to see Jesus. Or right before I see Jesus, oh, Lord, I forgive him now. I'm ready to go home to heaven now. It doesn't work like that way. You have to operate in the spirit of forgiveness. Just as Christ, God in Christ forgave you, I forgive him. I got a question. What's your question? How about if they don't ask me to forgive them? Do I still have to forgive them? Yes. How about if they're dead now? Do I have to forgive them? Yes. Will this disqualify me from going to heaven if I don't forgive them? No, but you won't experience the full relationship that you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ with unforgiveness in your heart. I ain't crazy. As I look at this audience, some of you have a hard time with verse 32, being kind to one another, being tenderhearted, because if I'm tenderhearted, I may get walked on. Somebody may take advantage of me. Trust Christ. They took advantage of him. But he still rose on the third day with all power in his hand. I wish I had more time to preach. I would really work this out. But I remember when Jesus was on the cross, they were crucifying him, placed a crown of thorns on his head and pierced him in his side. And you know what Jesus had the nerve, gall, and the audacity to say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to say, Jesus, don't say that, because when they crucify me, that's not what I want to say. I want to say, Lord, get them. Send some angels down here. Destroy them. But that's not what Jesus says. Even on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think we're growing. This community thing is contagious. It's catching on. We're one in Christ. But as we continue to grow and become one in Christ, know that there's some work to be done. We still got to ask the Lord to help me to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Help me to be kind to one another as God in Christ forgave you. Can we pray together? Father, thank you that this semester we're focused on this idea of being one. And maybe even today, as we're in community, we look to these various ways, this corrupt speech, this anger, this stealing, this lack of labor. Some of us are so lazy, we don't want to do our own work. Help us, God, not to let bitterness and clamor and anger and malice and all that junk stay in our hearts. Help us to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and forgive one another, just as you forgave us in Christ Jesus. We love you, we honor you, thank you now. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.